Welcome, everyone. It is January 30th, 2013, and this is Brett Thomas speaking with Integral Publishers. And this is just an extraordinary privilege today, a very rare opportunity to have both Dr. Don Beck and Dr. Mark Goffney together. And we're going to be talking about spiral dynamics and unique self. For most of the folks on this call, it's kind of a combined group of folks from Mark's mailing list and Don's mailing list. These gentlemen don't need any introduction, but I am going to kind of just give a very brief introduction. So Mark Goffney, of course, is the author of the groundbreaking book, Your Unique Self, which is just kind of taking the world by storm, and he's doing a series of dialogues with thought leaders like Dr. Don Beck and dozens of others, bringing this new idea into the world in a powerful way, which you'll hear more about today. And of course, in terms of Dr. Don Beck, his certainly after all these years, his reputation precedes him. But he's the author of The Crucible and Spiral Dynamics. And Don works in the area of large-scale systems change, as many of you know. And he moves freely between cutting-edge academic and scientific theories of value formation and change, but is also able to design practical applications in the real world. And finally, again, as many of you know, Dr. Don Beck has worked with large banks, 5 different airlines, global energy companies, healthcare, law enforcement, city governments, and is pretty well known for his work in South Africa and the Middle East. And so I can't wait to hear how these two ways of thinking about spiral dynamics and your unique self kind of come together. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Mark, and then you can tee up Dr. Don.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you. How are we doing, everyone?
Great.
Fine.
Hello. There we go.
Are you well, okay. Mark? Are you?
Well? I am well. I'm a little bit, Don. I'm a little bit with a little bit of a hacking cough, but I'm going to try and hack, you know, in between quietly. That's our plan. I'm not sure what level of development that is, but we'll make it work. It's wonderful to be here with you, Don, and to be discussing finally unique self and spiral dynamics. And we re-met at the office. Re-met after meeting many years ago, originally in Israel. In Jaffa, we re-met at the office of our good friend and colleague, John Mackey, who's been involved in spiral dynamics for years and who's the board chair of the Center for World Spirituality, and it was a delightful pleasure, and we immediately knew that we needed to do a dialogue, to really have a formal dialogue on the relationship between unique self and levels of development, particularly, you know, the Gravesian model, which you are the, you know, kind of prime representative of in the world, both as a person who's evolved the model and as a really, you know, I've always heard of, whenever you talk, I'm always just moved by your deep loyalty to Claire Graves, you know, as your mentor. And so let's just kind of have the big conversation here. And I thought maybe the way to go would be to begin with just kind of a very simple statement on my side of kind of what unique self is, the construct of unique self. And then turn it over to you, to Don, to reflect on unique self, right, in the context of the stage structures of development of the Gravesian model, and we'll take it from there. Does that sound like
good.
A plan?
Yeah, good.
Okay, so let me begin, everyone, with just a very simple statement of unique self. And this is not for Don's, you know, regard. Don, of course, is, you know, deeply familiar with the unique self work, as I am, of course, with the Gravesian work and the spiral dynamics work. But this is just to kind of set the stage for everyone. So what unique self is not a typology of the ego self. That's not what unique self is. It's not a Myers-Briggs typology. Unique self, the way it appears in its spontaneous form, unique self is the spontaneous expression, right, of the higher levels of development. As you move into second tier, right, and Don, and your color system, you know, yellow, you know, turquoise, coral, right, unique self begins to express itself spontaneously, not merely as a deduction, as the unique perspective of what we call true self. And true self, right, is the awakened realization of the human being that they're not merely a separate self, not merely an ego self, not merely what Bateson called a skin-encapsulated ego, but that the human being is a unique expression, if you will, of reality itself, of all that is, a unique expression of true self. You know, and of course, the total number of true selves in the world is one. You know, Mark Goffney, Don Beck, you know, John Mackey, Brett Thomas, Rand Stegen, you know, all participate in the same true self, but we're all an irreducibly unique perspective of that true self. And so the equation, if you will, would be something like true self plus perspective equals unique self. And that's critical because what that means is that unique self, when it shows up as the spontaneous expression of a person's nature, right, that's the particular structure stage of consciousness that's described in the unique self book. It's when a person naturally, on the one hand, realizes their uniqueness, but not in a kind of limitation, contraction, grasping, egoic, competitive, comparative sense, but their uniqueness as a spontaneous expression of their essence, that uniqueness also becomes the currency of connection. It becomes the connector. It becomes what connects between people. It becomes what connects new, larger system interactions, you know, in all four quadrants, at all levels of depth and expression. And so unique self, from that perspective, becomes the currency of connection, and there's a natural flex flow between unique self and unique we. And that's the structure stage of consciousness that we're describing, which, of course, changes everything. You know, and I want to talk a little bit later in this phone call, after really listening deeply to Don, you know, why this is significant, why it's significant that what we've done is we've actually been able to outline a characteristic of self, right, which is not, you know, a kind of contracted egoic self, which is, right, a spontaneous expression of unique essence, the personal face of essence living in you, as you, and through you, and why that structure stage of consciousness as it emerges at second tier, why it's so important, why it changes the nature of community, the nature of the evolutionary perspective, the nature of parenting, the nature of how you run a corporation, our relationship to death, sexuality, love, you know, business, right? It changes everything. But we'll get to that later in the phone call. I wanted just to kind of lay down first the kind of core structure of unique self as it appears spontaneously. And last sentence, and then over to you, Dr. Donnan. What a pleasure to be talking to you, right? The last sentence is that, of course, unique self per se exists every place. In other words, unique self is a structure of reality, but it doesn't become an awakened, aware, conscious structure, right, until the highest levels of consciousness, or until, you know, moving, you know, beyond, you know, beyond the green level into the second, you know, tier. And then as you go up the second tier, you know, into, in your system, coral, right, I think that's where unique self actually most, right, receives its most crystalline formulation in the kind of flex flow between unique self and unique we. So that's a start, and over to you, sir, with delight.
Okay, thank you. Now, I may need to reorder some of the language here, but I'm sure I can do that with you. Because
Please.
Whenever I saw your book, Unique Self, I jumped with joy because I love that term, unique self.
Mm.
Because I was so weary of seeing attack on self and with a focus on we, which is certainly happening today.
Yeah.
A couple of things. The transition occurs at the seventh code because it's at the seventh code that humanity has to deal with all the previous codes in the first tier. You've got tribes, you've got empires, you've got holy orders killing each other, you've got materialistic influences, you've got naive spiritual. You've got all those first tier systems, which means the first task at yellow is a kaleidoscopic system where it wears the multiple colors and can deal with the codes from those colors. Doesn't happen in green. But it begins to happen in yellow. Why? Because functionally, that's what it has to do. You see, from my work with Claire Graves, and when I was working with him, I studied 42 different systemic models.
Wow.
And his was the very first that had the complexity that I was searching for. Number one, the first one based on mind-brain research. And we have just validated that in Cologne, Germany. by using fMRI scanning devices.
Mm.
Number two, it had to have a scientific base to it in terms of how priority codes, we call them, emerge. So it had to meet the standards of traditional evolutionary psychology, which Graves' work did. But three, here's where we differ from most. It also has beliefs and behaviors that come out of those codes. So when I was in Bethlehem with Hamas, a couple of guys challenged me and said, "We have the key to our grandfather's house. If we can't get it back, we're not real men." So I said, red, blue, priority code. Then instead of challenging that, in fact, I did the opposite. I applauded it. I said, "What if I can show you a better way to be a real man?" Like what they said, like building education system for your grandchildren. See, I didn't challenge their priority code. I accepted it because there are historic and biological cultural reasons why that exists there. But by reshaping the issue away from the anti-Jewish position, and doing that in Israel as well, one can create the basis a whole different dialogue. That's what Elzamov and I are doing in the West Bank.
Wonderful.
A second matter is this whole process of change, which is not treated very well in our business. Once again, the Graves change models of eight different kinds of change provided us insight with a way to go into the field, into South Africa, into the West Bank, into Iceland, into places around the world, and quickly size up what the real conflicts are, and with a whole assortment of solutions to those and ways to wire them together. We had the basis for collaboration. And so when Egypt broke apart, we were yelling at them by saying, "Getting rid of what you don't want is not the same thing as getting what you do want. Let's come in with our values instruments and let's identify what the core codes are in Egypt." Because this model differs from other psychological models in that it begins with what are the life conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Paradigms only shift when they offer greater explanatory power than that which they were replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Our challenge today, Mark, and it's a very important challenge, is to find out to the best of our ability the best models that explains the vertical developments of societies. And that's why I've been so insistent on Claire Gray's work, because it's the very first not only to use mind brain research, but it is a model that we took into the hard places. Like when I first went to South Africa, they said, "Becky, you might as well go home. There's going to be a civil war here." I said, "No, there's not going to be," because we're already looking at the value structure and explaining to ANC and FW and then ultimately Mandela what the real issues were in terms of this kaleidoscope concept. Now, I know it's a bit crazy for us to do it because, one, we weren't funded to do it.
Right.
Two, we weren't always that safe because I used to hear Yankee go home. To what the hell, we've been saying that in Texas for years.
Right.
So you just have to dodge a bit, but you have to empower the locals so they hear the spiral message in their own tongue, in their own language, from their own culture. And that's the genius of Elza working in Arab societies.
Right.
So even though, you know, I'm seen as a Gravesian, my client is a spiral. I'm a spiralcrat. And
right.
Because we've been able over time in research to see the patterns and therefore be able to design through concepts called natural design, being able to design appropriate organizations, geopolitical structures, healthcare systems, for those kinds of people thinking in those kinds of ways. And we have to avoid the nuke pro tunk fallacy,
mm-hmm.
which means now for then, which means that we judge the past through the prism of the present.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore unable to go back in time to when people were thinking that way naturally.
Yeah.
And not hold this generation responsible for it. So I've been active in black-white dialogues for many, many years. And I did major work with the National Football League and the fact that having the Super Bowl, that I was in contact with one of my dear friends at the top of the National Football League, Greg Iola. He said, Greg, this campaign is going to be divisive. Do some things during Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
in order to weave this country back together, just like I did with Mandela in the movie Invictus.
Mm.
So what also makes this approach different was it stood the test of time. We've taken it into places where no other psychological models could have handled them.
Yeah.
I didn't invent it now. This is the work of Claire Graves, and his research was impeccable. So I'm making a call here for the importance of having some kind of meeting where we digest the wisdom from a number of approaches with reality.
Yeah, I completely. So let me jump in for a second, and I want to just kind of stay completely with you and deeply appreciate, the width, the breadth, the depth, of the work of Graves's work, your mentor, and of your application and enhancement and development of it in the world, and the ways that you describe, which are just stunning and stellar. And in terms of our call, I want to kind of stay focused, right, on this kind of unique self dimension to really kind of work with people to really understand why it is that uniqueness shows up, right, as a property of consciousness, a spontaneous property of consciousness at these higher levels of consciousness. Because, it's actually very, very interesting. At the green level of consciousness, you have almost a kind of rampage against uniqueness, a rampage against, the notion of a unique story, right? A rampage against, the integrity of hierarchy. There's a kind of leveling of differences, and you have a kind of coming together, at the level of, at that kind of green level, at Graves level 6, of kind of a great Eastern influence, which is a kind of no-self influence, which is that moving beyond your story. You have a kind of academic deconstructive move, which kind of undermines the individuality of story. You have all the psychoanalytic underminings of self that are very strong at Graves level 6. So actually at Graves level 6, known as green, in your color description, you have actually, which is the center of the American Academy, at the center of Western intelligentsia, you have a kind of broadside assault, on self, in which self is either, deconstructed psychoanalytically, rejected from an enlightened perspective, and really, seen as totalitarian from the kind of anti-hierarchy perspective. So you've got these three major perspectives undermining self, and therefore what happens is self then becomes limited to, its orange expressions, its kind of achievement expressions. We don't have a higher vision of self, which is utterly necessary both to create community at higher levels of consciousness, right, and, for kind of healthy, enlightened achievement. So to bring kind of an enlightened vision of self back into the conversation seems, critical. And unique self, as you said and described, seems to begin to emerge at yellow. I would love just to hear more about how you see it emerging at yellow, if that's a fair question, Don, and how you see it emerging into turquoise and coral, when it moves more between the individual and the community. Because really this is the first discussion we've had publicly, actually just kind of mapping, the higher levels of consciousness, right, in the Gravesian model in relationship to unique self. So I'd love to just kind of really focus on that, because this is kind of our big opportunity for that conversation.
Okay, let's do that, because it goes back to the original Graves theory. That's why I call it the master mm-hmm. code. Because he was the first in all the battery of systemic models to examine what is there in nature and in the mind-brain complex that creates a new system.
Mm-hmm.
What caused it to rise? Translated, why could your unique self could not have appeared in you and others 10 years ago?
Great. Okay, I'm listening.
These systems don't come out of the blue. They come mm-hmm. out of life conditions, what's necessary to survive and prosper. So the genesis of the system is within the interplay between the life conditions and the awakened systems that have the complexity codes to deal with those life conditions. At the same time, the earlier systems, once awakened, are still hanging around. That's why at seven is the first time that a systemic understanding occurs to recognize that all the earlier first-tier systems are legitimate. There are ways that humans react to life conditions, and they are scattered all over the planet, especially here in Texas.
Right.
So that's why the transition that the Grace found and signaled it with the term human nature prepares for a momentous leap.
Right.
And I asked him, Claire, what does that mean and what's going to happen? He said, I can't tell you the exact day it's going to happen, but probably during your lifespan. But when it happens, you will know it. Because
mm-hmm.
the system will start popping in to people like you and others who are advancing in your understanding. But even after the thought structures appear, they have a lot of work to do because they have to have the codes, as you have implied, to resolve issues back spiral. And so what we've done is create the evolutionary mechanisms to go into a third to second to first world transformational setting, and not just work on attitudes, that's not enough, but design the natural structures like
mm-hmm.
Dams and locks that take a ship up, then
mm-hmm.
it goes through those dams and locks. Now, because of 724 news cycles and access to email and everything else, this process is happening more rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you, if our State Department had been aware of this with Elsa advising them, then the whole response to Egypt would be different. Now,
I'm going to go to the beginning. Let me jump in for a second with your permission, and let me go back to the beginning of what you said. Let's just kind of look at, okay, now, why is it that this momentous leap, right, from first tier to second tier, right, you know, yellow and turquoise and coral in your system, right, why is it that this is emerging, right, you know, in this post-green moment, right, this new, you know, momentous leap, this second tier integral age, as it were, is emerging now? And so let me just try and, you know, from my perspective, share why I think it's emerging. I'd love to hear why you think it's emerging so we can really kind of focus on, you know, because we're really here in this dialogue. There's a lot of other things to talk about on the interface between the great Gravesian system, right, and its spiral expression, right, and unique self, and trying to understand the specific interface. And pardon me, you know me, I'm Jewish, so I'm kind of focused on that text here. So I want to try and really stay really focused on it. So what seems like to me is that the new life conditions are, you know, one, right, the rejection of individuality by the intelligentsia, right, you know, as expressed in, you know, academic green, right, didn't actually produce results. Right, there was a realization that the rejection of the self, right, the demonization of the self, both through kind of Eastern Enlightenment systems and through, you know, academic deconstructions of Terry Eagleton kind, and through psychoanalytic underminings of the self, you know, and through the kind of all the contextual narratives, right, that claimed that self is in one form or the other, you know, merely, you know, context within context within context, but there's no ghost in the machine, right, that actually there was a realization that A, that didn't meet people's first-person experience, you know, B, that we actually need, right, a strong self to engage reality, and C, and this is perhaps most important, after more and more people began having realizations of actual awakened consciousness of what I've called true self, you know, I've called not Mark Goffey, what we've kind of called, has come to be referred to as true self, a classical enlightened awakened experience that I'm part of the seamless code of the universe, more and more people realize that the self, that doesn't obliterate the self, that refines, right, up levels, right? The self from its narrow, contracted, small self, it then disappears into emptiness. But then after emptiness, your perspective still exists. And so what's happened is there's a new first-person realization of perspective that's essential and irreducible after emptiness, after enlightenment. And there are life conditions which require the creative evolutionary energy, right, of that self, right, to engage. And finally, there's a realization that we require the self, right, as the kind of puzzle piece that allows for the connectivity to create the evolutionary community that we need. So that's how I would at least respond to what are the new conditions that create unique self. Is that helpful at all?
But at that point, self
please.
What the hell to do?
Take it away,
sir. The insight, what the hell to do?
How does this new
unique self deal with millions of people passing from red to blue and happen to be Islam? What do you do? Do you kill everybody? Do you baptize everybody? What do you do? How do you manage that transition out of, and of course, you know, we encounter it in Palestine constantly, and we found the way to deal with it. So the whole question now is why we have to go down a spiral and begin to speak the language of multiple colors.
Agreed with you so far.
Provide them their unique stair steps, that they can understand. So that's why in Palestine we recommended a cement factory versus some very complex assembly factory, because a cement factory applies what's necessary for the transition from red to blue to early orange. So we're able to pick the kinds of businesses that provide the stair steps for people at that level. But now, if we don't understand why people are at that level, and if we don't honor them, which is also the important thing, because they're dear hearts and gentle people, and we've seen so many USAID operations come into Palestine offering the wrong solutions because they thought they could impose their human rights message on people just ratcheting out of a tribal structure. That's why I'm saying that what is essential today is for us to build the models that can inform decision makers as to what they're actually dealing with. And until we do that, we're going to have a series of missteps. So now Iran and North Korea are virtually nuclear countries because we trusted them. And that's why it's important that we generate a whole group of leaders that can understand these dynamics. But if we fuss about this and about that and run into all the competition and so forth, then we will cause our own demise. That's why I'm so insistent that we convey and think tanks, serious-minded people who want to get at, based on quantitative research, not guesswork, not assembly out of the blue, but
right,
quantitative research on how to profile a whole culture and how then to build through natural design the infrastructures that facilitate the emergence of that culture into positive versions of their codes or into more complex versions of their codes.
Right, right.
The whole thing has to be mapped out.
Right, right. No, I'm with you. It sounds like there's really two separate conversations happening here, and they're both legitimate and both important. So one conversation we're having is about, you know, how the unique self appears at higher levels of consciousness and why the unique self is a critical construct, a kind of strange attractor, if you will, an omega point of unique we and unique self that appears at, you know, the higher reaches of consciousness, you know, as the unique perspective of true self. That's conversation one. Conversation two, right, which I'm hearing deeply from you, which is, you know, makes, of course, a lot of sense, is that the important work of being able to, you know, map and profile in a kind of accurate scientific way the levels of consciousness in a society, and then to help a society, right, which is in conflict, up-level to the healthiest versions of its own codes, right, is essential and a critical and necessary tool, you know, in the toolbox of emergent, you know, world peace that needs to emerge from crises, without which and without this tool, you know, we're left, you know, without a really, really critical tool at this pivoting moment in time. And so that's completely, you know, completely agreed. So I think we're in agreement on those two conversations, you know, 1,000%. And I would ask a question, though, and here's an interesting question. I asked you this question actually in Israel 7 years ago, and it's a hard question. So I would love to hear, within the context of these codes, your sense of it. So let's say you talk about a cement factory, right, as the way to move, you know, from kind of red to blue to kind of early orange. So the question is, and it's a real question in Israel, and I remember the question very well, you know, Israel's Labor Party thought that you could build village leagues on the West Bank, you know, which were built on commerce, on economics, you know, on cement factories, and that would actually create a healthy infrastructure and create a kind of a genuine partner for peace. I don't need to tell you, Don, right, that that's not what happened. And in fact, Hamas, speaking to the fundamentalist voice, right, of unhealthy blue, actually, you know, usurped, undermined the kind of orange, early orange expressions of the village leagues, right? And the village leagues were actually dismantled. Most of the people were killed, you know, and, you know, the PLO came back. Hamas kind of emerged, and those structures didn't hold. So I would actually offer an alternative vision, and I would love to hear your different perspective or why you think I'm incorrect about it, which I'm sure will make me wiser. But it seems to me that the only way that you can actually up-level the conversation, let's say in an area like the Middle East where there's a deep fundamentalism, is to actually enter into the actual codes, the religious codes, right, of the local population, and then evolve those religious codes from within using, right, you know, the religious codes themselves, right, and their evolution as a conveyor belt, right, to actually allow for the evolution of consciousness within that religious system using its own internal codes, rereading the Quran, rereading Muhammad, rereading, you know, the later prophets. You know, that would seem to me to be, right, kind of finding and seeding the evolutionary emergent moments within the native spirituality itself to move it from a kind of red or blue spirituality to an orange, to a green, right, to a second-tier spirituality. So does that make sense to you? Is that complementary to what you're saying? Or is it alternative,
you know,
or do you think it's completely off base?
Do you know what we actually did in Bethlehem at that
time? I would love to hear.
Well,
I would love to hear.
That's exactly what we did.
Oh, wow.
None of the speakers could even mention Israel or the occupation.
Huh.
And the entire session led by Palestinians was, what do we need to do to build our society? This, by the way, was the first Arab Spring. And the changes that happened in the PLO in terms of business and security, many are telling us that came out of that summit. I even met with Hamas leaders in Bethlehem. They
wow.
came to discredit me. You know, that often happens.
I got it. Those Texans,
I mean,
Don. You know, those
well,
Texans
I mean, they just
virtual.
They wouldn't shape a Elza's hand.
Wow.
And I instantly recognized them. These guys walked straight out of the Old Testament. I understood their value structures. And after I spoke for 30 minutes and described the value systems, but then use our assimilation contrast effect, which are the stages cultures go through in the radicalization process. No
mm-hmm.
one else uses that but us. And
mm-hmm.
I put that up on the wall. And then they said, my gosh, you've explained our world. When
mm-hmm.
can you come back and speak in Gaza?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we did exactly that. And we,
wow.
Now, of course, if the Hamas thing weren't dealt with, which means now you have to go to Israel. You can't do it from one side, as you know.
Right.
So what Elza and I have designed is a way to overlay this complexity onto both of them using
mm.
Hong Kong or Singapore of the Middle East as the goal, as the superordinate goal, showing
mm.
how by cooperating what good things can come, and then we can show why the negative voices are there, why there's so much fear in Israel. It has to be a total package that cuts across all those domain. I mean, we've already sketched in the strategy. We're just waiting for someone to say, come on back, let's do it, and let's do it now. So, I mean, what you did is just outline precisely what we've done. We worked through their culture. That's why Elza and Saeed are so valuable, because they
yeah.
speak in their cultural language. It's not this guy from Texas who lives about 40 miles from George W. Bush, for God's sake.
Mm.
So, see, that's the point, but you've got to understand spiral dynamics. You have to understand what the change processes are that other models, quite frankly, don't have. So we're able to map out in our change state indicators that we use all over the place the stages of change that we're dealing with. And when we see what's called a gamma trap, we know that's where the seedbed of violence. So we're able to scan the whole horizon and then very carefully began to use nudge change, using the understanding of what we're saying first, because we aren't naive now.
Yeah,
we had to dodge bullets and Ramallah. So, you know, this is serious business. But let me tell you, Mark, there's nothing else like this. This
yeah.
combines all the systems. It's field tested in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And no one ever challenges us.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's a very, 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 you know, you've developed a very sophisticated system. And so let me ask a question now. So this is, you know, this was this set of meetings you're describing, which sounds like a, you know, an unbelievably compelling set of meetings. So this takes place, what, 6-7 years ago? In 08.
You can see it at BillPalestine.org. You can
right. Wow. So was there the ability to create a kind of structure within the leadership in the West Bank that allowed for some sort of continuity, or it kind
yes.
of got derailed
yes.
in local politics?
And in fact, our guys went to the 6th convention of, as you know, PLO, and
mm-hmm.
took over parts of it. Our kids won elections in the universities in the West Bank.
Mm.
We challenged the radical view. That's why this thing, Mark, is so powerful.
Yeah.
Now, I do need to say one more thing about world-centric. You're not going to have world-centric until the 7th code, yellow, defuses it and cuts into those conflicts. So talking about world-centric is premature. I keep trying to say this. First yellow, then turquoise. Because it's yellow that clears the deck, negotiates the major conflicts that occur vertically as well as horizontally. And this would be so easy to do at maybe one-tenth the cost of what the U.S. is about to do when they send over Bill Clinton as a special envoy to the
right.
Middle East. That's just about welcome to Bill again. It's amazing why we can't seem to get attention of people. And more I'm getting emails from all over the place. They're saying, you know, back we heard you years ago. George Bush said to me last time I saw him, he said, Beck, we think you're brilliant. We just don't know what the hell you're talking about. And clearly he was right. He couldn't see it.
Right.
And so we tried Obama and still not satisfied with that. But our obligation, and I really like what you said about that, this is happening on our watch.
Yeah.
And I think what we're about to do here, Mark, in your interest too, is to build the understanding of selves and us's that we can overlay over Israel-Palestine.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah. No, please.
Okay, what that could do for you, see, would be wonderful.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the ability to realize, I mean, again, I think that they're completely received, you know, the importance of, you know, that you've pointed out so eloquently both today and really you've stood for this, you know, you've become, you know, a virtual icon, you know, for the critical tool of recognizing the stage structures of consciousness in a society, right, to recognize them, to validate them for what they are, to allow them to emerge within their own trajectory to the healthiest versions of themselves. I mean, you've really put these ideas, you know, in a deep way, you know, into culture, you know, and I think, you know, we're all, you know, indebted for it in a kind of deep way. You know, and I think that what we're trying to do now is to chart the topography, right, of these higher levels of consciousness so that they can serve as a strange attractor. They can call forth the potentials that need to be called forth, and unique self, right, the ability for both an individual to be a unique self and therefore to connect to another person through their uniqueness, the ability for a society, right, to live its unique self. And once it's in its unique self, it can then be in relationship, connective relationship, right, with other societies, right, is very powerful because separate selves, you know, as Heidegger pointed out, can't really traverse the chasm of separation and alienation. True selves, you know, are all one already, right? There's no conflict, right? In the real world, right, we have enormous differentiation, you know, to the point of dissociation, and we need a map of self, a source code map of self that allows people to live their deepest unique self, unique society, unique expression, and for that uniqueness, right, to fill, right, to be a kind of enlightenment of fullness, if you will, right, the unique expression of the emptiness that then allows for connectivity. And I think these are these two separate conversations that are running through this through this phone call. And I would say that in Israel, you know, the ability for, you know, all parties to actually recognize, right, their unique expression, right, as a valid and unique expression, right, it is an essential basis for connectivity, right? And, you know, in Israel we need to recognize, as you've pointed out, you know, many times, is that the center of gravity of the Israeli population, you know, the center of gravity is ultimately somewhere, you know, kind of orange-green. You know, there's obviously a blue dimension in Israel, right? But the orange-green center of gravity is clearly the center of gravity in society, right? In the Arab world, the center of gravity in society, you know, is somewhere kind of, you know, purple, red, blue, you know, is where the center of gravity is. And so, you know, we need to find a way to bridge that. And I think, as you say, it can only be bridged by up-leveling on both sides. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this is true. But don't forget, also in Israel, you have a very strong red-blue factor. And that's the current issue of New Yorker magazine. It really spelled it out, Mark, that you really need to look at. So what we've learned is you have to do things within Palestine to defuse the Hamas. You got to do things within Israel to deal with the
I would just be careful. This is the one place I'm going to slightly disagree with you, my friend, with much love and honor, right? And it's clearly within Israel there are different levels of consciousness, obviously, you know, but let's just look at the lower right structures for a second, right? You know, Israel is a democracy, right? It's a democracy. It's a pluralistic democracy in which women vote, et cetera, right? There is no pluralistic democracy, right, you know, anywhere that we're aware of in the Middle East. And so the essential lower right structures of Israeli society fundamentally differ, right, you know, and that's just important to keep in mind so that we don't kind of have a kind of leveling, which makes it really hard to kind of look at the overall picture. Does that make any sense, Don?
Well, of course, so I don't level. That's why when we first started working there, we said let's go to Palestine because of the huge asymmetrics between Palestine and Israel. You really can't compare the two, but they each have variations of various kinds of codes, which are sometimes difficult to get on board with this process. But again, we've learned, even when we spoke to the Knesset in Jerusalem, it was amazing how many people were getting what we were saying, but they all had to run for election. So we're constantly aware of that dynamic. So it's not just Israel versus Palestine. It's within Palestine. It's within Israel.
Absolutely.
And so you have to work in all three simultaneously, and that's my point.
You know, absolutely. No, received. Received. So I think this was a good, you know, I think this was a good and important start, you know, in terms of, you know, what's possible, and a kind of a really a clarion call from you, Don, for the critical need to deploy, right, these essential tools of recognizing structure stages of consciousness in resolving world conflict, right? And without that tool, you know, we're really hard-pressed to even understand what's going on. It is kind of all looks the same. And it's only if we move from, I think, what did you say in John Mackey's office? I thought you said something so beautiful. We got to move from black and white issues, you know, which are kind of color issues, racial issues, you know, all sorts of other divides between people, to recognize that actually, when we start using the kind of colors, as it were, speaking symbolically of levels of consciousness, we begin to create a map which allows for the evolution of consciousness from level to level and creates a much more hopeful and visionary map. And I think Don, that, you know, being a clarion call for that is just, you know, one of your, you know, just, you know, huge contributions and, you know, massively, massively appreciated in deep bell.
Yeah, and we'll find the groups in this country. One is Mimosine Foundation, the third generation of 7-Eleven stores here in Dallas, who are very interested because they work in tribal societies for years, and they see what can be done. And there are others in Dallas, because Dallas wants to be a global city, believe it or not, and it will be.
It will be. Well, they're lucky to have you.
The resources are here in the city. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. So, that's fantastic.
So there's hope for us. All of us Texans here can kind of get together and close the mic.
Absolutely. Lori, my partner is a Texan. She's from Houston, so I'm surrounded by Texans. I think this is just a great conversation. I want to thank you for your kind of immediately. I remember you contacted me early on, and you know, kind of really pointed to how you felt that Unique Self was just, you know, a great description of the emergent second-tier consciousness, and you saw it emerging at yellow, and as I shared with you then, I think it begins to emerge at yellow and kind of gets even stronger, paradoxically, at turquoise, you know, in coral. You know, Unique Self gets actually stronger because the self, you know, becomes a natural flex flow with the community, right? The movement between self and the larger context, right, you know, becomes almost seamless at the highest stages of consciousness. Appreciate that. Any thought on that? I'm sorry, please.
Once again, it's a question of what problems does it have to solve. That's the key. And so it's not a comparison of systems and like Calvinism. It is an adaptive intelligence to life conditions. So today in this country, we need a healthy version of blue. That's what's behind all the issue about the gun. And in other societies, we need a healthy version of orange. So the key now for the so-called higher consciousness people, like I guess we are, and even Ken mentioned this to me one time. So when yellow describes a blue system, not the way an indigenous blue system would do it, because it would have a final stage.
Mm-hmm.
So when yellow does a blue system, it's a transformational conduit through
right,
which mind passes out of red. So I'm trying to show here that practically, if you think within the complex spiral codes, you can begin to see how to approach virtually any situation. That's why it's called the theory that explains everything.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Of course it doesn't, but you know, I say it anyway.
I understand. Well, on that very elegant and graceful note, I want to first of just thank you very much personally for just all of your work, you know, and kind of pointing to these things for decades and decades and decades, you know, and really, you know, not only, you know, your great work in the world, and really, you know, as I said in the beginning of the conversation, I've always just been moved in your writing, in your series with Sounds True on Spiral Dynamics. You know, you've really kind of also modeled, you know, the deep, you know, kind of commitment and loyalty, you know, to Claire Graves, and kind of been a kind of eminent Gravesian, you know, in the world and held that space. And it really had kind of all sorts of ripple effect and influence in so many ways. You've planted, you know, so many seeds, you know, that will become saplings. And, you know, and likewise, you're reaching out and recognizing of Unique Self as, you know, the act of a statesman, and deeply appreciated. So I just want to just, you know, applaud and, you know, deep honor and thank you, and look forward to our next conversation.
One final part. We're doing a work with the Peace Through Commerce, one of the outputs of Maggie, mm-hmm. In Austin on March 9 and 10.
Oh, wow.
And March 9, laying out this value system model. So if you're close to Austin, you might want to come with it and then see what the Maggie group is also up to with Peace Through Commerce.
That Maggie guy is awesome, right? So that's
he is something else. So.
That is fantastic.
All right.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you, everyone.